morning. Warm welcome to our Sunday morning service, those of you here and those of you online. It is the first Sunday of Advent, a time when we start to focus on Jesus coming to the earth as a baby. Later in the year, obviously, we think of him dying, but at the moment, Advent, we're thinking about him coming. We're going to light the first Advent calendar and have our reading. Who's lighting it? Emily's lighting it. And Tina's going to come and do the reading.
I'm reading from Isaiah 11, 1-4. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From the roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy, and with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth.
Father God, we thank you for your great love towards us. We thank you that you sent Jesus as a baby who grew, who learnt, who taught others, who lived, and then who died for our sins. We thank you that we have so much to be grateful for. We thank you for your many blessings, one of which is bringing us here today to meet together with each other. We do thank you, Lord, that you take care of all the small details in our lives. And we just welcome you here to meet with us now. May our worship be pleasing to you, and may we learn from the message that Livy brings later. Just come, open our ears, open our hearts to you, we pray in your precious name. Amen. In Isaiah 9, verse 6-7, we read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this."
I just felt the Lord was saying, love came down at Christmas, love all lovely, love divine. And I think the Lord wants to tell somebody here today or maybe online, God loves you. He loves you so much. He sent his son into the world to die for you. So it's just a word for somebody. God loves you so much.
Thank you. Yes, that's what it's all about, isn't it? God is love, not the other way around. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. Very warm welcome to us all here in church this morning. Of course, those of you who are watching us online as well. So as Suzanne said, first Sunday in Advent, and it's the 1st of December, so that makes it very easy to work out that it is 24 days to Christmas. 3 weeks on Wednesday. So just in case you're not sure about what's happening, that's when it is, the big day, 3 weeks on Wednesday. So you can see it's quite nice and festive in here now. A team of us came in on during the week to put the decorations up. And just have to say thank you to Jan, though. She's shaking her head at me. But the flowers... She's the artistic... Yeah, but your gifts are with flowers and things, and you use them for us, and we do appreciate it. So just shut up. So the teen meet is this afternoon at 4 p.m. About 4 o'clock, is it, Dan? Have I got that right? Yeah, they know when they're coming anyway, and they're going to meet up, and I think they might be planning this service that they're going to be doing in a few weeks, all be well. Now, tomorrow, Monday, the ladies are meeting for their Christmas service and lunch. It is at the earlier time of 1 o'clock. So if you turn up at 1:30, there'll be no sausage rolls left. So just get here for 1 o'clock, otherwise you'll be making the sandwiches. Sorry, calm down. 1 o'clock ladies meeting tomorrow for lunch and a lovely Christmas service. The playgroup are meeting on Tuesday at 10 o'clock and then again at 1. And then we have the mini-messy church in the afternoon, Christmas mini-messy church. We had 14 children last time in November. And they were so impressed, and they will come again. Hopefully they will. It's just a lovely time. That's from 3:30 until 5. No prayer meeting on Wednesday this week. Jan has a meeting elsewhere. But the crib blessing is on Wednesday evening, down at 6 o'clock, down at Bethesda, the little roundabout at the bottom there, it's in Swallownest. And they will be providing refreshments afterwards for us. The lunch club, as usual, this week again at 12. And the prayer meeting on Saturday morning down here at church at 9:30. There's an event happening at Central Methodist Lodge Lane, Swallownest United Church's choir. They're having a concert, I think you would perhaps call it. That's at 7 o'clock on Thursday, the 12th, not this next week, the 12th of December. Is there a charge, do they? No, but they just usually have an offering, do they? Yeah. So that I'll mention it again next week. That's Thursday the 12th. Christmas events. We have a lovely newsletter out. And thank you so much, Janet and Chris. It's really nice. I'm sure you'll pick one up as you come in. All the events that are happening in the next few weeks are there, but I'll just keep mentioning them because sometimes people like to hear it. So, Thursday the 19th of December, it's the Chris Tingle workshop at 6 o'clock in the school room, all ages. Jan did it last year and it was really nice. And then at 7 o'clock, we're having the candlelight service here in church with refreshments afterwards. On Sunday the 22nd, we have the junior church led service. They are going to be taking the whole service as they do most years. And then we're having a bring and share lunch after that. So if you'd like to bring, if you're not sure what that is, just bring something to eat. We put it all together and share it after the service. Christmas Day, we're having a family service, a short service as we normally do. Bring a gift and show it if you'd like to do that. Then that's at 10:30. And then on Sunday the 29th of December, there's the praise and prayer service, that because it's the fifth Sunday, so we're getting back into that now, and that's at 10:30. Quite a lot of stuff there, but as I say, it's all in the newsletter, be all on the website, so please do look on there if you're not sure about anything, or just ring up and ask us, it doesn't matter. Lots of food happening at this time of year, quite rightly so. So if anyone can donate mince pies, chocolate biscuits, you know, just little special treats, that would be really good. If you just pop them through into the kitchen and we'll keep eating them till they've all gone. Because they usually have a good day, don't they? Someone mentioned about the church meal that we normally have in January. And to be quite honest, I'd forgotten about it. But this year, we're going to be having it a little bit later. So we haven't forgotten it, but it probably will perhaps be in February instead of January this year. I'll let you know when we have all the details for that, if anyone wants to go. Now, we have a superstar in our congregation this morning. Alex, stand up. This amazing young man is part of the South Yorkshire Orchestra Collective, Music for Youth Proms, and he was actually performing in the Albert Hall on Thursday. Quite right, maestro. And at great expense, I have to say, we've managed to get him to come to church on the 22nd of December and play saxophone for us. You're a very talented young man and we really are very proud of you. Well done.
So, good morning. Is everybody okay? So, just a practical thing before I preach. A couple of people have asked me about the carol service. We are having a choir. We would love as many people in it as possible. There's loads of us, so if you're not very confident, you can hide at the back and just have a nice, good sing. We would love as lots of people as possible. There is a letter at the back. We're keeping it all quite compact this year, so we're practicing on the Sunday the 15th, Tuesday the 17th, and then the carol service is on the 19th. If you can make any two of those, obviously including the carol service, that would be fantastic. I mean, you can just come to the rehearsals and sing if you want to. If you can't make the Thursday and you want to just come and have a sing song, that's also acceptable. But yes, they're at the back. Please, as many people as possible. It is so lovely to have a big choir and as many people involved as we can. And now I've lost where I wanted to put my bookmark. Okay, so I'm going to read the reading first. We are in the Gospel of Luke. It's on page 855 of your Bibles. And we're starting chapter 1, verse 26. So, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What a lovely story the Nativity is, hey? Isn't it a lovely story? And I tell it to kids often. And so I spend a lot of time talking about how lovely it is and how, oh, nice. And then she has the baby and God blessed her and all was well. Now, I also try and tell kids about Easter. It's a little bit harder to make Easter into a lovely story for children, it has to be said. A little bit harder to talk about Jesus' death on the cross. And so I just want to look at this story that we've made into a nice story for children and look at it from a human point of view and then from a God point of view. And so we're starting at the very beginning of the story, when the angel Gabriel visits Mary to let her know what her part is going to be. So let's have a look at the amazingness that was this woman of God, what she was willing to do for him, and what that means for us. First, we meet the angel. I think we can agree that the angel probably didn't look like this. Angels are spiritual beings, and the Bible describes them in lots and lots of ways. And I went in a little bit of a rabbit hole with this. I found some pictures of other angels that people thought This angel, he's probably a little bit more realistic, although not, from what I've read, not Gabriel, probably Michael, who was the more warlike of the angels. And here's another Michael. He's quite a dishy Michael. But then we move on to some slightly more abstract, interesting ones. So this one I think is very beautiful. All the colours and the lights. And these two are both called the protector. And this one on the left I think is fascinating. But then I love that this angel is big enough to hold a whole city in its arms. Little bit scary again this time. He's lost a wing, bless him. And then moving on to actually, this is possibly, who knows? I assume nobody here has had an angel encounter specifically themselves. If you do, you probably should be preaching. No, okay, cool. So this one maybe looks a little bit more like what it was, just a light. Or maybe just a person. There are various different kinds of angels, but the ones we think of, Michael and Gabriel, and the protector one, whose name I can't remember, sorry, they are not depicted with wings in the Bible. The cherubim have wings, and the seraphim have wings, I think, but the actual angels. What we do know about angels is that they are awesome in the old-fashioned sense of the word, full of awe. And Mary was just a kid at this point. Anything from 12 to 16 years old, depending on what you read. So somewhere between the ages of my two girls, to give you some reference. She was not a mature, experienced woman, but barely more than a child. When John sees the angel in Revelation, he falls down at the angel's feet and worships and is roundly told off for it. Angels are bigger and scarier than we think. And often they begin with, "Do not be afraid." They start with, "Don't be scared, it's okay." And certainly Gabriel does that in this one. And Gabriel is the messenger angel in the Bible. They all have different jobs. But we still don't really know what Mary would have seen at this point. And then this angel, this fearsome being, tells Mary what is going to happen. So she's going to have a baby. It's going to be God's baby. And it's going to be amazing. But she's so brave. She goes, "What? How is that going to happen? Because I'm still virgin, not going to work." And the angel says, no, it's all right. God's have it in hand. And he'll just make it happen. And exciting news, your cousin who's barren, she's going to have a baby too. Isn't it lovely? Isn't it lovely? It's lovely. But actually, that, "How shall this be because I'm a virgin?" It's not just about the mechanics of it. It's not just about something for the teenagers to have a little giggle at during the carol service. It's a very, very serious thing. The concept of virginity at this time was a political, economical tool. It was your value. As a young woman, that was the thing that made you valuable. That was it. And without it, you were in danger of being killed, literally. If it was proven that a young woman had got married and was not a virgin at the time, Deuteronomy says, "Then they shall bring the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her to death with stones." And just in case we're wondering, well, that was a long time before this. Maybe they didn't do that anymore. We see it in Jesus' time. We see it in the Gospels. In John chapter 8, Jesus saves a woman from being stoned because she has been caught in the act of adultery. And it's not in a country backwater somewhere either. It's in a metropolitan centre. It's in the most forward place in their world. It's in Jerusalem, a big city. And even should she survive it, it would bring shame on her, destroy her betrothal, which would have been seen as her greatest achievement and her biggest accolade. We'll never know if she loved Joseph, if it had been a wonderful romance, or if it was an arranged marriage, but either way, it was a big deal. And her life plan was not going to work out the way she thought. And let's be honest, there wasn't going to be a way of hiding it. The most obvious evidence of your non-virginity is a baby bump. We don't have an option. And also notice that this was not a choice. The angel didn't say, would you like to be the mother of God? Would you like that? Would that be nice? Would you like to have a baby? The angel said, it will happen. The Spirit will come upon you. So, how does this young lady, facing human shame and possible death, respond? She responds with courage, with acceptance, and with obedience. She says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to his word. Bear in mind that she's already questioned the angel about how it was going to work. She's already said, but that's impossible. How can I make that happen? So she's not just cowering in obedience. If she didn't want this to happen, she would say, no, I think. I don't know, I could be wrong. She doesn't even say, well, how are you going to keep me safe? She just says yes. I see a massive disconnect here. So how on earth did she manage it? Well, firstly, she trusted God. She trusted this messenger. She trusted that the task God had for her was more important than all that stuff, even her life, if need be. I'm sure that God chose the mother of his son with a wisdom that we can't even comprehend. But he also helped her. I think her response smacks of the peace of God, which passes all understanding, and the work of the Holy Spirit. And of course, she was right to trust God. But let's remember that she couldn't see the future. She didn't know the end of the story. She didn't know that God would send another angel to her betrothed to convince him of her faithfulness. She didn't know that she would bear a healthy baby boy. She didn't know that they would be warned about danger to flee to Egypt, or that her son would perform miracles and be an amazing man of God, a God man. She also didn't know that he would die at the age of 33 and that she would watch it happen. From a very human point of view, maybe that's not such a happy ending. She didn't know that he would rise again on the third day and take his place with his Father in heaven. She didn't know any of this, and yet she trusted God, that he would work for the good of all, that he would protect her, that his will was sovereign. Because actually, God doesn't promise us a human happy ending. God doesn't promise us that horrible things will not happen. But God does work to the good of all through everything. And through the death of her son on that cross, he saved everybody who ever wants to be saved. He took that difficult, horrible, dangerous thing and he made it what it is today. In fact, he planned it from before Mary was born, that was what was going to happen. And so what do we take from this? What do we decide we're going to do with this information, this story that is not actually a pretty story about pretty angels and nice things happening to people? It's a story about, and we're only in the first inch of it, it's a story about danger and hardship and worry and choosing to put God ahead of yourself. So, as we look towards Christmas, let's remember that it was hard won, that Mary chose to put herself out there. She accepted God's part for her to play, knowing that it was not going to be easy. I mean, God is amazing. God found a way of dealing with it that meant that she was not shamed. But she would have expected that. And he saved us. And I'm really happy that the worship this morning has been all about the whole story. It's been all about Christmas being the beginning and Easter being the end. Because actually we celebrate this time of year, we celebrate this birth because of what happened at Easter. Without that, Christmas is not exciting or amazing. So, let's pray. Father God, we pray that we might be able to emulate Mary just a little bit in our lives. That we might be strong enough to accept situations which humanly we see as difficult or dangerous. That we might have the courage to face them. And that we might have the strength to be obedient to your will. But Lord, help us to remember that we do not do this alone. We take this moment now at the beginning of the story to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. We say, yes, Father God, let it be to us as your will. And we ask you, Lord, for the peace which passes all understanding, which does not make human sense. And we pray that it would be with us as we walk your road. In the mighty name of Mary's son, Jesus. Amen. So, I'm going to read from the other end of Luke for this one. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And so, Father God, we come to your table as you invited us to do. We bring before you now, Lord, all the things that have separated us from you this week. All the times that we have taken a human perspective and not seen your hand at work. All the times that we've put ourselves first, ahead of others and ahead of you. All the times that we've put our faith in the false idols of success and money and fun and all those things which, while nice enough in their own way, are not the real thing. Lord, we come this morning asking you to help us to put those things aside and to put you first. Like Mary, we cannot do this on our own, but only with you. And so, Lord, we come to your table, just as we are, knowing that you love us, each and every one, and that you have made a way for us to be able to come to you, clothed in righteousness that is not ours. If the people who are serving would like to come up, the bread is gluten-free, and the wine is juice. Feel free to let it pass by you, as today is not a day that you want to take communion. But if you love the Lord as your Saviour, you're very welcome to join us. So, Father God, we lift our glasses to you, together, one body, your church. We pray that you would bring us together in unity to work to your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Livy. We've got a lot to think about and ponder on this week. Let me just close by saying the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.